Why we return to the show. I'm once again your host and book ambassador, Zachary B. Wolf, here with Lisa Wolf to read from her new children's book, Hooping Helen. Take it away.
All right. Thank you for having me. Thank you all for being here, too. Okay, Hooping Helen is a story about a heron who learns to hula hoop. As the sun rises over the ocean, Helen stretches her long legs. On the beach, she sees people spinning colorful plastic circles around their bodies. "Hey," Helen calls out to her Uncle George. "Who are they?" Uncle George does not take his focus off the sand. "Hoopers," he tells her. "What are they doing?" "It's World Hoop Day. Around the world on this day, hoopers dance and celebrate hula hooping." Helen stares at the spinning circles. "Wow, it looks like fun." Uncle George snatches a crab and swallows it whole. "I've seen them here before. Are you going to watch?" Helen nods her head and stands very still. Her eyes open wide as the hoopers twirl one hoop, two hoops, hoops with lights, and hoops in their hands. After a few hours, Helen runs to Uncle George. "I want to be a hoop dancer," she says. "But you do not have a hoop," Uncle George reminds. "I am going to make one." Helen walks through the tall weeds on her way to the beach. Grass pieces tangle in her feet and twist around her toes. "I can make a hoop with these," Helen shouts. Uncle George looks up. "You okay?" "I am," she yells through the weeds in her beak. She wriggles and wraps the grass and then flips the circle over her head. The hoop tilts and twitches and itches her back, but it does not spin. Helen steps out of the grass and looks at her nest. "I can make a hoop out of sticks." She runs to the trees. Helen tangles and twists the twigs and then flips the circle over her head. The hoop pokes and picks and sticks to her hips, but it does not spin. Helen wiggles out of the hoop and flies along the beach. She spots pink, yellow, and red dots coloring the grass. "I can make a hoop with flowers." She ruffles and rolls the flowers and then flips the circle over her head. The hoop floats and flutters and sputters to the ground, but it does not spin. It is lunchtime, so Helen quickly swallows a fish. She worries hoop day will end before she can hoop dance. Uncle George finds Helen sitting in the middle of the flowers. "How about vines?" he whispers. Helen leaps toward the trees. She waddles and winds the vines and then flips the circle over her head. The hoop pinches and prickles and tickles her tummy. Helen laughs, but the hoop does not spin. She walks toward the ocean and sees a floating circle of evergreens with ribbons and bells. "What is that?" "A holiday wreath," Uncle George tells her. Helen mingles and mends the wreath and then flips the circle over her head. The hoop jingles and jangles and tangles in her feathers, but it does not spin. "I cannot do this," Helen sighs. "You okay?" Uncle George shouts. Helen rolls her eyes and looks up. "Maybe," she whispers. She flies to the palm trees and gathers a mouthful. She waggles and weaves the leaves and then flips the circle over her head. The hoop does not spin, but it is not itchy or sticky, picky or pokey. The palms do not prickle or tickle, jingle or jangle. Happily, Helen tries again. It does not flutter or sputter, but it does not swirl or twirl either. Helen spins the hoop with her mouth. It goes halfway around her waist and falls to the sand. She turns in circles. The hoop stays still. Helen gets very dizzy. She spins the hoop around her legs. The hoop floats, but her backward bending knees stop the spin. "I cannot do this," Helen mutters as she watches the sun setting. "You can do anything," Helen, Uncle George tells her. "Practice and do not forget to eat, kiddo." He tosses Helen a fish. Helen watches her uncle's neck as he throws the fish. "That's it," she shouts. Helen stands and flips the hoop over her head, but this time she does not let the hoop fall to her waist. Instead, she moves her S-shaped neck back and forth. The hoop slowly begins to spin. She turns in circles as the hoop gently floats and spins. Helen extends her wings and with a smile and a shimmy dances down the beach. She is a very happy hooper.
Lovely, lovely story. Now, can you maybe tell us your inspiration for this? What got you writing the book about a hooping crank?
Well, I love hula hooping. It's something I do all the time. My fitness background, I've been teaching fitness for about 25 years, and hula hooping is actually a great form of exercise as well. I love to teach people to hula hoop, adults, children, all of that. And I also love to write and to read, so I tried to find a way to combine the two together. Thought about what animal might be good at hula hooping, and thought a heron, that would work. So, and there we go, it just came together. All
right. Now, no one listening to this is going to know, but this is actually a very beautifully illustrated little book here.
It is. The illustrator lives in Michigan as well. She's actually the mother of a friend of mine that I used to work with, this woman. And these are all canvas paintings. She painted each on an individual canvas, and then they took the photographs of them. They are absolutely gorgeous. She did a fabulous job. So, yes, if I could, you know, frame a couple pictures of those, I probably would.
Well, maybe that'll be the next thing.
The next thing.
Prints of individual pages.
There you go. Prints of Hooping Helen. Yeah.
So was there much of a process? How long did it take you to put this whole thing together?
The writing process took a few months and a lot of edits and rewrites, trying to get everything just right. The illustrations took a lot longer than putting those together was pretty quick. But the writing process didn't take too long.
Okay. You teach hooping and other exercise types of things, so this ties in with your real life in several ways.
Absolutely, yes. I love teaching hooping, and it's not just waist hooping. It's actually hoop dancing, so you're using the hoops in your hands and spinning them over your head and around your body. One of my favorite hula hoops is one that actually lights up, has like almost like Christmas lights on the inside of it, so you can use it at night and outside and create all kinds of patterns.
Hoop everywhere.
Hoop everywhere, yes.
Does anyone in the audience have any questions about Hooping Helen right now?
Well, we didn't see any hula hooping today.
No, normally I read it and hula hoop at the same time, but apparently the microphone was getting in the way.
We can do a separate hooping show if you'd like.
There's enough hoop for everyone.
Everyone can.
You want to see that?
Yes?
I like how you incorporated your extensive background in exercise.
Thank
and
you.
Put it into a book. And the artist, as you mentioned, and I'm looking at the picture here and there, she did a wonderful job.
She did. It's beautiful. Thank you. Yeah.
She did.
And encouraging children to be active is very important to me, too.
Right.
Just it's so important for these kids to get up and move. And hula hooping is a fun way.
They have to know that because pre-video and
pre-color
television with the remote, what did kids do? They went outside and played
exactly.
And
kicked a can or something.
In their play.
Yes.
And they were building socialization skills at the same time.
Absolutely.
Which is not being done now. So I think, correct me, exercise is a way to reinstill that kind of behavior because you're with people.
Yes.
And you're not only watching them, you're learning from them, you're communicating with your eyes and with your ears and with your body language, and you're fine-tuning all of that. The influences are there.
Exactly. And especially as kids are growing and their bodies are changing so quickly, it's a way for them to get comfortable with that ever-changing, you know, length of the arms, length of the legs. I know my son, you know, plays soccer, and he grew so fast. You know, he's 17 now, but he had such a big growth spurt, and there was a year when he was playing soccer where he could barely kick the ball. I'm like, what happened to you? He used to be one of the best players on the team, but his legs had grown so fast he didn't have that control. He didn't know where his body was in space.
Very interesting observation.
Yes. So, yes, the more kids are physically active, the more they participate, the more comfortable they are with their bodies. Plus, it's a great mood booster. They feel better about themselves, self-confidence. It's
exactly that, because when you're in a social, when you're in a group, you can express yourself in different ways, whether it's movement with a hoop, with your eyes and vocalizing.
Absolutely.
You're building confidence. These are building blocks for yourself
absolutely.
As an adult and through your adult life, too.
Yes, absolutely. And tying the hula hoops in with an adult fitness class is also an interesting concept, because it does kind of break down those barriers or those the hesitations that they have, because you can take them back to just being playful you're still burning calories, you're still moving, you're still, you know, building your cardiovascular system, but it's in a playful way. And
adults can forget to be playful.
Yes.
And they think if they do, it's childish.
Exactly.
But it's a wonderful place to be.
It is. It is, definitely.
It's kind of a thought that I have about children's books or movies in general is that, you know, a lot of adults will see a new, for instance, Pixar movie or a new illustrated book that seems kind of simple, and they think, well, I have no business seeing that, I'm way too old. And then I think, well, an adult had to make that.
Yeah.
It's not like there's a six-year-old putting that Pixar movie together. There's adult content in this for a reason.
Yes.
Exercise your passion in life, as they say. Speaking of which, you have another book that you've published with us called An Exercise of Passion. Would you like to tell us a bit about that?
The Exercise of Passion is a mystery fiction story, but the main character is a female personal trainer. She gets involved in trying to solve a kidnapping. And the whole thing takes place in Florida, Fort Myers, Sanibel. I lived there for a few years, so just kind of brought all of that into that story.
So there's a lot of your own experiences.
There's a lot
in
of
that,
my own. Yes. There's a lot of me in that character.
He's a girl detective.
There you go.
Solving mysteries and staying fit
That's
at the same
right.
time.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of titles on your first book, did you choose that name right away, or did you have to think about that?
The Exercise of Passion, that one?
No, the other one.
Whoopi Helen, this one?
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, I taught an aqua aerobics class, taught it for years. I was at the Howell Aquatic Center for, 10, 12 years, and there was an older woman in my class, and her name was Helen. And whenever she would arrive to class, Helen's hair was perfect. You know, her earrings were perfect, her jewelry was perfect, and she just had an elegance about her. You know, she always spoke very, very polite and with a lot of etiquette and very positive. And just being around her for all those years, I thought, I need to use her name somehow. I didn't know exactly where I was going to use it. And then when I decided she was a Heron, the Helen just fit. Yeah. Yes.
Well, your book has a message as well.
Yes.
And I think that's very important. Kind of that try.
Never give up.
Do you have an age range that you think this is perfect for or not?
You know, when I visualize reading this and I have gone and done some hooping things and some drum ball with a group of fifth graders at one of our local elementary, and so fifth graders I think definitely kind of would gravitate towards this. Third through fifth, I would probably say.
Yeah. I also liked your choice of words. I heard the repetition, but the same word, but it was a different word.
Yeah.
And the same idea.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for noticing.
Would you say that Exercise of Passion has an overarching inspirational message or other theme of...
You know, interestingly enough, it's probably the same theme. Don't give up. Because this woman has to go through a lot. She ends up getting kidnapped herself and just has to find her way out of that using her own strength because no one is there to help her. So I think the overall theme would probably don't give up. Apparently that's
right.
A common theme for me.
It's the same story, but...
No.
We were talking earlier about how there's only so many plot themes that you can have, and so everything is kind of divergent on that.
Sure, definitely. Most definitely.
What can we expect to see next coming out of Lisa Wolf?
Well, I had an idea the other day. I actually was going to talk to Diana about this, but another children's book I'm thinking. I have spent 25 years in the fitness industry, and the past year I've spent working at a financial institution. So it's a big change in careers, totally different for me. But one of our teller, she found a penny that was from like 1917. And so she said, do you realize this penny is almost 100 years old? And I went, wow, you're right. And I thought, I wonder what that penny's been through. And that just took off to a whole other story in my brain. So maybe something along those lines. And, you know, this penny would never give up either.
Well, yeah, there you go.
So that I'm thinking I would love to do another children's book. I have, you know, 6 other fitness books that I've written and a Christian fiction novel, which I still need to release the other 2 editions of that. So I don't know where we're going next. Yeah, lots of options.
A lot on the table here. Now, as someone who's written in multiple genres, do you have writer advice or a process that you use to get through your stories?
I keep a journal with me pretty much everywhere. So when the ideas come out of nowhere, you can write that down and copy them. For me,
get
first
it out.
Thing in the morning seems to be the best. That seems to be when my mind is kind of calm and, you know, not all the day's stresses have gotten in there. So for me, getting up and jotting those ideas or writing some work best for me. I'm not an outliner, and I know that's horrible to say. We're all taught to outline first, but that doesn't work for me. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
So
just kind of free flow, whatever ideas come to you.
And the Christian fiction novel, I did that one in a month, you know, where they have the month-long novel writing contest. I wrote that one in a month and put it aside for about 4, and then finally went back and looked at it. Because after a month, you don't want to see it anymore.
Right, you need to take a break.
And
especially when you have that many projects on the table.
Yes.
You got to cycle
it
through.
So, yeah, I write when the inspiration hits me.
No wonder you've got so many projects going at the same time.
I'm not ADD. Really, I'm not. Multitasking. I like to multitask.
Well, since we didn't get excerpt of Exercise of Passion, do you want to give us maybe, I know you've talked about it a little bit, but kind of a general idea, plot summary type?
Yeah, she's a personal trainer. The main character is a personal trainer. She works in Fort Myers, Florida. One of her best friends gets kidnapped, and then she starts receiving text messages on her phone that are all jumbled. So they say they have words that are sentences that actually make sense, but they're not the real sentence. So she finally discovers with the help of her grandmother that it is a word jumble. So she has to rearrange all of these words to find out the clues. Hmm. And the clues are actually leading to different houses on Sanibel where her friend is being kept. So, yeah, she just has to work her way through that.
Exciting little mystery there.
A lot going on in there. Sounds scary? A little scary?
But don't give up.
Because the kidnapper obviously had her cell phone number, so you have to think about it.
Anything else from the audience? Thoughts or questions? Ideas?
Are you teaching a whooping class now?
I teach a class, an exercise class, that's kind of random. So I pretty much can show up and teach whatever I want. So it could be kickboxing, it could be circuit, it could be step. So I do throw hula hoop in there. Yes.
Do you go to any of the schools or any of the, summer camps or anything?
I haven't done anything like that. No, I said I'm working with one of our local elementaries, and we've been doing a drum ball thing lately, but I've talked to her about getting hula hoops going. And they do have enough. They have 30 in their PE department, so, we're working on it. This is Voyager Elementary. It's in Howell. But, yes, so I'm working on it. I figure if I start there, then, you know, we can spread out. But it's fun. The kids are so great. So.
Anybody want to see some hooping?
See some
hooping or do some hooping? All right. Let's get it on.